This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The penultimate late lunch of 2022, second last of the year. You're very welcome to the show. I'm sure it's manic out there with people doing the last minute shopping, getting ready for the Christmas dinner, etc., etc. But if you're with the radio in your car or listening online or at home or whatever, welcome to the show this afternoon. School's out now until January as well. Hey, Louise, I mentioned the Christmas table. I'm picking up my turkeys and ham, etc. tomorrow. Now, You know when you have your Christmas dinner, do you have turkey? I asked you this before. You do have turkey. Do you have
just to fill it?
Yeah, perfect. But you know, it's all you have to enhance turkey. Always, in my opinion. So I make my own cranberry sauce. I make bread sauce, my own as well, and I have a beautiful homemade gravy. So, what are you laughing at?
I don't do cranberry sauce. I don't do what's the other
bread
one?
Bread sauce.
Bread sauce.
Gravy.
I might do a bit of pesto, maybe.
Seasons and thickens all in one go.
Tomato ketchup. Big bottle in the middle of the table.
Oh no, please.
Oh yeah. I've got Christmas dinner without tomato ketchup.
Oh no. Please. No.
And it has to be Heinz.
I go back to the gravy. Is the gravy from a jar?
Well, no, in fairness, Owen will kind of make
good
gravy.
He well done, Owen. That's at least credit there. Credit where credit's due. No, Louise. No tomato sauce on the Christmas table.
No. You can't have cream potatoes without tomato ketchup.
Do you do roasties?
Yeah, if I can find a packet of frozen ones.
I don't know. I'm lost for words. I'm lost for words. Anyway, which tomato sauce?
Is there Heinz.
Heinz, yeah. Well, I agree with you, Heinz. Oh no, folks, help me, please, help me out there. I'm actually sinking.
Oh no,
I
don't. Cranberry sauce, no. Ugh. I've never tasted bread sauce. I have to admit.
It's nice. Bread sauce is nice with the turkey. The homemade cranberry, I put a little orange flavour through the cranberry,
so
and they love it.
You do everything homemade.
Yes. Yeah, Christmas Day. It's a special day. You have to do that homemade
spaghetti
stuff.
Bolognese out of a jar. Be homemade to me.
Stop the light.
I was telling you, I was watching Graham Norton, and he was doing, I get this wrong, it's have you never ever, and you have to admit to something you've never done. And this girl, I don't know who she was an actress, and she says, I have never prepared a full meal. And I was going, I am so you.
Come back to the sauce. Come back to the folks.
Ketchup all the way on everything.
Help me, please.
Even my wedding day, I asked at the top table for tomato ketchup for my spud.
Now, we are big tomato sauce fans in our house and have always been. And we love Heinz number one. And we use it on everything else. But let me tell you this. The only tomato sauce that gets near my Christmas table is when I make my Mary Rose sauce for the prawn cocktail and smoked salmon starter.
Ooh, I do
it in that. You have to do it in that. 364 days a year, it's number one for sure. But folks, come on, Christmas Day, help me here. Tomato sauce is no, isn't it?
We don't do a starter either because the kids would be full after it. So selection boxes is the starter.
That's the sweet stuff for the end.
Everything is topsy-turvy with me, you know that.
I do. 086 1800 658. Help us out here. Is there anybody out there? Are you with me? Cranberry sauce, bread sauce,
tomato
homemade
ketchup.
Gravy. or tomato ketchup? What are you? Who are you with here this afternoon? What's your style on your Christmas table? 086 1800 658 WhatsApp or text us the show. I'm dying to see. Please help me out here.
I'm probably in the minority, I would say.
Well,
I'd say everybody splashes out at Christmas on cranberry.
We'll let it fly. I'm going to do a straw poll at 2 o'clock as well with certain gentlemen we have here and see what they think. Are they tomato sauce people or something else? Anyways, today on Late Lunch, to begin the show, we're going to have a little look back at, we've picked a few things from the year gone by, and we're going to start with, I told you yesterday, we picked up the Gold Award in the Wireless Group of Stations UK and Ireland for Radio Moment of the Year for the second year in a row. And what it was an unbelievable moment when we spoke to Brendan, didn't we, Louise?
Yeah.
Yes. In Kiev, Brendan Murphy, he's from North Louth. He was in Kiev and he was trying to get
him and his family
out of Kiev. And we had him on the line live here in Late Lunch. Let's have a listen to the moment.
The Ukrainian military have been successful in a lot of fierce battles, and there are many of those fierce battles ongoing, but the outcome is yet to be decided.
Is there much shelling happening?
Sorry?
Is there much shelling happening?
In the hot areas, there are missiles, there are bombs, there's a warplane overhead. I need to go. Okay, sorry,
Brendan. Bye-bye. My God. That's horrendous, isn't it? He had to go as the plane came in. God bless him. I hope he's all right. It's really hard to say anything, isn't it? I'm lost for words. Never experienced anything like that before. Have somebody on and they had to go. But possibly their lives ended.
I've even got shivers now.
Oh my, listening back to it there. We didn't know. We did not know whether that man had been blown to pieces, his home and his family. And you can actually, if you listen to the clip carefully, you can hear the plane. You can actually hear the bombers, just that whine coming. And I knew he was looking. You could see him looking skywards and he was gone. And that was it. But thank God we made contact later. And he was alive.
And we had only WhatsApp to go by at the time.
That's all.
So we were dependent on signal and everything.
Yeah, everything. We got him. And eventually he made his way out of Ukraine with his wife and mother-in-law and child as well. And they're back living in North Louth, safe, but a long way from their homes, I have to say. But that was the moment of the year, an unbelievable moment in a war situation. That wasn't long after the war broke out there, actually, when Kiev was being hammered.
It was only a couple of weeks, even.
That's all, you know. So
everybody was on tenterhooks.
On tenterhooks. And we spoke to him subsequently, and nice to report that he got away safely in the end. Now, let's have a listen to another lovely piece from 2022 here on Late Lunch. And Chesney Hawks. We played Chesney Hawks, the one and only, as the two on Tuesday, didn't we?
We did.
It didn't make number one, did it? Did it make number one?
I just couldn't remember who we were up against.
Yeah, anyway, we'll come to that in a moment. Anyway, it was part of our two on Tuesday. It was either two or one. I think it may have been it was a huge number one. And then we played the two on Tuesday and then played it.
We played it the following week because his dad was in a band that went to number one or two.
Yes. And Louise said to me after the show, you know what? I'm going to get Chesney Hawks. And I said, well, away you go. Good luck to you. But, you know, and you did. You went after him. It took a little bit of time, didn't it, to get him? It did.
Yeah.
But you eventually tracked him down.
And he was so nice. And he agreed to come on.
Just lovely. He really was. And it was a great thrill to get him on the show and talk to him. And he's such a nice, nice bloke. Anyway, let's remind ourselves of Chesney Hawks on Late Lunch. And guess what we're talking about? Have a listen. Happy special birthday. I know I'm late saying it to you, but you had a special milestone birthday recently. And boy, are you looking well. What's the secret?
Just pickled, mate. Just pickled.
Like the onions and everything else. There's more to it than that, for sure.
Oh, there's a story there, but that's for another day.
Anyways, the song. You know something? Even today, I have to say, when we play it, honest to God, or it's played anywhere, the place just takes off. It's a really special song, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I am definitely grateful for that song, for sure. You know, I've had my ups and downs over the years, you know, but with it. But these days we're like friends with benefits, you know.
Yes.
I feel like I kind of, you know, I've given up ownership of the record. You know, it now belongs to people that have emotional connections to it. You know, I'm more like the custodian, you know, of it. And because, you know, I hear these stories from years ago, you know, over the years, meeting people, different connections with it, you know, where it was played at my wedding. It was the first song that we heard when I met my girlfriend, or it was, you know, played at my dad's funeral or whatever, something like that. It's pretty amazing, you know, and humbling. When it's, you know, I call it a song with wings. It went out there and kind of found its own life and its own emotional connections with people, and which was really not a lot to do with me, you know. I sat back and let it do its thing. And nowadays, you know, when I do my gigs and I fire up that intro, it's always lovely to see the energy in the room lift, you know.
Oh, it lifts, and I can vouch for that for sure. And you're so on the money there. It means so much to so many. But you know the way people often say when they have a song like that, do you ever tire of playing it or performing?
Well, I didn't play it for pretty much the whole of the 90s after that.
Yes.
Kind of, should we say, the rise and fall?
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, yeah, I refused to play it for, like, you know, until it got to the millennium. And when I got offered I didn't even go out as me. I was like playing gigs under different names, different band names.
Right.
And yeah, I thought I was in Radiohead. I was like, you know, shoegazing and turning my guitar up to 11 and telling people to bugger off if they ask for one and only. But then, you know, beginning of the millennium, I started getting gigs as me, and I was a bit trepidatious about it, you know, thinking that people would have forgotten about it, you know. But what I didn't know in that time was that, you know, the song kind of gained a bit of a cult following. And, you know, that's what time does, doesn't it? You know, after a while, it just becomes like this kind of slightly iconic thing, you know, which is weird, because I still feel like I'm 19, you know, but time says another thing.
And you were only a child, really, you know what I mean, when it hit the top and everything was going your way. But, you know, the thing about it is special in people's hearts and always, always will be. Will you introduce it, please, for us? You know what we're going to do. Come on, Chesley.
Oh, are you going to play my jazz fusion record? Are you?
I will sometime, I promise. But for today, come on, let's have you.
All right, here it is, the one and only. Bring it on.
Thanks, Chesley. What a memory, Louise, that is. What an absolute
song of the
gentleman.
Year, as far as I'm concerned.
There you go. Song of the decade. Song of the century in many people's books. The wonderful Chesney Hawkes there speaking to us at Late Lunch in June of this year. And they're off. It's neck and neck between tomato sauce, cranberry bread, and they're going down the first straight, and it's still neck and neck as they head down towards the first fence. They're over. It's still neck and neck between tomato sauce.
And see a late entrant of brown sauce.
I see brown sauce has just entered the race there. Come in on the left-hand side as well. And now, yes, I see it. Yes, Cranberry and is edging ahead there, edging ahead there. Yes, just slightly, but there you go. People love the red sauce. Cranberry as well. Eileen, thank you for the good wishes. Happy Christmas to you. There are other messages there. I don't know your names. But anyway, keep them coming to us. Tomato sauce on the Christmas table.
You have to taste yes, bread sauce now.
No. Yes, I'll make it for you, I promise.
Oh, thank you.
Late Lunch LMFM Radio. We're back in a moment with another memory. We have a treat for you on Late Lunch after 2 o'clock. They're in the house already getting ready for a St. Peter's Mail Voice Choir on the back of their outstanding Christmas concert last Friday evening. They're going to sing for you this afternoon. Well, Louise, we're looking back at memories from 2022. Socks and sandals.
Were we wrong about that one, Gerry?
Why?
Well, seemingly it's the rage. Socks with sandals were the fashion accessory of the summer.
No.
Yeah.
Not sandals.
Yeah.
Are you talking?
Yeah, socks and sandals. I thought it was, I'm just looking it up here, and The Guardian said socks have been grown as a style statement the past 5 years, particularly when worn with sliders or sandals. Now, I did see Messi and all the Argentine lads wearing socks with sliders.
Oh my God. But the world champions are wearing socks with types of sandals.
So disappointed.
Oh, that is just, I'm devastated. I'm absolutely devastated. Anyway, earlier on in the year, Lisa Smith, the wonderful Lisa Smith from M&S Fashion Consultant, she's a very good friend of ours. Myself and Louise were bantering about the socks and sandals. And then Lisa joined the conversation.
Hi, Gerry. Hi, Louise. How are you?
We are all good here. What do you make of what we're chatting about? Is it a sickener for you if you see somebody in the socks and sandals?
I'm laughing here at you both. Hilarious. It's so true what you say. Like, so your feet are supposed to breathe, so you should be wearing your sandals without your socks. But the amount of men that do that is unreal. So you're going to get lots of texts in, Gerry. Trust me. I was styling one of the lads this weekend, only in work. It's very strange you called me today. And I haven't styled a man in so long. And I said, surely to God in my head, like, I'll not have to tell him about socks. Or he comes out of the changing room with the check shorts, the T-shirt, and these big, long. Now, can't I say, they weren't even white socks. They were blue socks. And I went, Norbert, get back in there quickly. You need to check out the video. It's super cool, though. We changed him, and just looking at his energy vibe, like, some men are brilliant at styling themselves and some aren't.
Yeah.
He's walking around first in his uniform, so dull. And then, of course, I'm saying things behind the camera to make him laugh as well. But the difference in him with the stylish top and the jeans, and he was just buzzing with the energy. He was like, thank you so much.
Yes.
Delighted about it.
So look, you can work your magic, and it's just a little bit of expertise brings so much to it. So he came out with runners on and socks up to his, just below his knees, or halfway down. Where were they?
He said to me, they would have went up above his knees. He said, okay, fine. I pulled them down. I was like, no, they need to come off.
That's the sock she's talking about there. Now, the socks. Anyway, you know when you're on holidays, or I'm on holidays, and you wear the shorts? My chicken legs come out once a year whenever I get away. But you know the little socks that just come round the bone of your ankle? They're just really in the runner.
They're the ones that's perfect. You wouldn't wear them with sandals either, though.
No, really. No.
No. Like, that's honestly why sandals were invented, and that's why we love summer. Like, why put your socks on? Summer's the best time, spring, summer. Let the air at your feet. Just have the feet looking well. Unless some people have awful feet and that's the only reason they're doing that.
Yes. So you think, now hold on a minute. I thought the guy I saw the other day was absolutely the exception. You disagree. You say there's lots of people wear the socks and the sandals.
Oh, Gerry, trust me, I'm dealing with men lost in there. And I'll tell you, I was just saying there as well, like, we see, they come in, they shop with me maybe 400, 500 euro, and they'll say, see you next year. Louise has a great story there about a suit, Louise. You need to tell that one.
Come on, tell us.
I was just telling Lisa that when I was getting married, my father, God rest him, said, oh, I'm not buying a new suit, I'll wear the one I wore for your sister's wedding, which was about 15, 20 years beforehand. So my mother was going, no, you're getting a suit. No, I'm not paying out to get a suit to wear once. That's it. So she said, it won't fit you anyway. You're too fat. So he said, I'm going on a diet. And he was 80. And it was really looking as if he was losing weight and he was going to fit into the suit. And my mother was mortified. It was a kind of a grey, almost shiny suit. You know, that was kind of when it was in fashion way back. And so my mother was kind of dreading, oh my God, he's looking like he's going to fit into this suit. So she snuck the suit out and brought it to the dressmakers and said, take it in. And she got it taken in that even if he lost 10 stone, he'd never fit into it. So he had to get a new suit. And he was like, right, that's it. No more suits. I'll be buried in that.
I have to say, that is such a funny story, Louise.
My poor dad, and him eating nothing for like six weeks beforehand.
And he could never make the weight for the suit. It was simple as that.
I don't think my mother ever told him.
Good woman, Patsy. That's the way. You have to keep them little secrets you do in life. They're very, very important. Anyway, memories from Late Lunch this year, the year of 2022. St. Peter's Male Voice Choir with us after two, taking us up to two. It's me favourite girl and her Christmas song.
It's been a long time to be missing you. You're on your way now, lover, and I'm over the moon. Everything's all in place, but there is one thing clear. Christmas isn't Christmas till you get here. Those sleigh bells ring, ring, ring. Whole room.
I've been kicked out. I'm gone. Out of the studio. Get out of here, quick. Guess where I am? I'm in the hall of LMFM, in the reception area. And I'm here for a very, very special reason. Because the gentlemen of St. Peter's Male Voice Choir, with their wonderful conductor, Edward Holly, have joined me specially for this Christmas. And on the back of their wonderful, wonderful Christmas concert in St. Peter's Church last Friday evening. And I'm joined by the chairman of the choir, Paul Delaney. Paul, welcome and thank you for bringing everybody along today.
Well, no, it's not bad, Jerry. No, we're delighted. Unfortunately, like you have a lot of people working today, but you know, we've enough of lads here now. Can't say too much bad about it. It's a very small room here. I might get a box, but I think I'm okay, you know.
Don't worry, Paul. Social welfare aren't tuned in. No. They're okay. They're all right. They're all right. I'm only cutting. Congratulations on last Friday night. I never had such a reaction the day after from people with messages of congratulations to me. And I'm passing them on to you today. People said it was your best ever.
Well, it's strange. We were just talking, a few of us here today, I was talking with Aidan, and it's kind of the reaction we've got. We probably, normally after a concert, we would normally get a lot of people coming up to us, particularly friends or family, we say it was a great night. But this year, for some reason, we've got strangers coming to us out of the blue that maybe wouldn't even be familiar with. Maybe stop us in the street and say, I was at your concert last night. It was absolutely fantastic. So for us, it was a marvellous. Because as I kind of said in the night, when we had the first meeting there and we were Edward, we never really knew, because I was just even listening to radio this morning. It was last January, the restrictions were still in place. So when we were having our meetings earlier in the year, we still didn't know where we were. I'm still, a lot of our members hadn't been back. So to achieve what we achieved was absolutely marvellous. But it doesn't come by itself. Only for it was, we're driven by Edward, it wouldn't have happened. I know we do as a choir, we go and we learn the stuff and all that. But we had to have a purpose to do it, and Ed was the purpose. He drove us, really, and it was marvellous on the night then, you know.
And I believe demand for tickets was unbelievable. You could have done a second night, but look, that's it for another day. Miss Celine Byrne, can we mention that wonderful woman's name? Oh my God, wasn't it just marvellous? And the boys, the way you gel with Celine and Edward, it all comes together.
Yeah, well, Celine, I suppose it's for us. I mean, Celine Byrne was an international name for us at the beginning. But as she started to sing with us, she didn't become an international name to us anymore. She just was one of the boys, and she would come in and she would have a talk with you, and she'd, you know, there was nothing. You see on the show, she had her pyjamas on at the end of the night on the show.
So, I did see, yes.
Well, you were in Mara, I think. But yeah, so that's the kind of person she is. And to us, like, even though she is, and I can't take that away for her, she's an absolute fantastic singer, an international star. But to watch, I don't think she'll be anything else other than someone who comes and enjoys the show with us. And I don't think that level leave any of us, I think, you know.
That's lovely to hear. And she is so down to earth and she gets on great with all of you. But just to say for anyone listening today, and in case you're thinking anything different, she's the only woman who'll ever be in St. Peter's male voice choir.
Oh, absolutely. You better believe that. Yes, absolutely.
Paul Delaney, thank you so much, chairman of the choir. Edward, could you just join me for a moment, please? Edward Holly, musical director, only the second ever musical director of St. Peter's Male Voice Choir in its history. Again to you, congratulations. You know, you mix and move in big circles, we'll say, in this business. But for you, what was Friday night like?
It was really special because after 3 years between COVID shutting down a lot of performances, I was just so thrilled for the guys to get out and sing again. That was it for me. It was a great concert. The audience, magic, yourself, you were super. Celine, of course, amazing. Our soloists, Aidan, Sean, Niall, Liam, and so on. I hope I didn't forget anybody there. And the guys in the choir, they just work so hard, you know. And to stand up and perform 22 items solely from memory, that's a real credit to the work that the lads do. And they enjoy it. That's the main thing as well. They really enjoy it.
I have to mention Jennifer Murphy, soloist on the violin, who last minute couldn't be part of the night because her mum had an awful fall. It was a shocking icy night on the way in. How is she?
The great news is her mum is okay. Yeah, eventually she went to the hospital. She was discharged at 5 a.m. in the morning with mild concussion and a little bit of pain, but thankfully no spinal injuries or anything like that. And just to say a big hello, that's Una, and to Jennifer as well. Jennifer started playing with us when we used to do the sold-out Five Nights a Row in St. Peter's Church of Ireland. Jennifer was there. So we'll have a concert early in the new year, and I have a funny feeling Jennifer will be playing on that one, definitely.
That's really great to hear. Join us, please, on Facebook Live, will you? Because you can watch this as it's happening out. Facebook Live, LMFM, St. Peter's Male Voice Choir and Late Lunch. Now, Edward, will you go there and take up your position to conduct the troops? Are you all ready, boys? Yeah. Yes? Yeah. All ready and in good voice today? And, Edward, to start off, it's a holly jolly Christmas. Here we go.
Holly jolly, holly, holly jolly. Holly jolly, holly, holly jolly. Best time of the year. Holly jolly, I don't know where the gods are jolly, but have a jolly cheer. Holly jolly, have a holly jolly, holly jolly. And when you walk down the street, holly jolly, say hello, holly jolly, and then holly jolly you be. Holly jolly, oh, 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 the mistletoe.
Simply superb. Class, boys, I have to say. Absolutely fantastic. Aren't they just brilliant? We're going to head to a short break on Late Lunch. The choir is staying with us. You don't go anywhere because there's more magical musical entertainment from the boys of St. Peter's Male Voice Choir right after this break. You're with Late Lunch on LMFM Radio this Thursday afternoon ahead of Christmas, and it's really seasonal at the station today because we're joined on the show by the wonderful gentlemen from St. Peter's Male Voice Choir. And remember, they're always looking for new members. They're always in the market for new members, and they introduced quite a number at the concert last Friday night. So if you're interested and you have a wee voice at all, give them a shout. We'll tell you more about that a little bit later on. It's great to have them with us today. And, you know, a song they sung for us here some years back really made an impression. And this is a special request today. It's not a Christmas song, but it's an absolute classic. And our programme controller, Eamon Doyle, said, if the boys are coming up, on one condition, they got to sing this song for us. So you bet they're going to sing it now and give it a full tilt. It's St. Peter's Male Voice Choir under the baton of Edward Holly and the wonderful Noreen Bawn.
Noreen Bawn.
If the hairs aren't standing on the back of your neck after that, I don't know what to say. Give yourselves a big round of applause, boys. Come on. Fantastic. Edward, congratulations. Well, well done. Let me have a word with some of the choir members here. I'm joined by Owen Quinn. Owen, you are the most mature member of the choir, I believe, with us today.
Thank you very much. A lovely compliment.
When did you join?
Oh, I must be in the choir the best part of 30 years now.
Are you?
Yes.
And love it as much today as the first day you
Absolutely.
Joined?
Absolutely. Music is something that warms the cockles of your heart. And it's something I look forward to coming to the practice every night or every other night with Edward. It's really, it does me a great, great privilege, really.
Do you mind me asking you, would you reveal what age you are?
I was 88 last August.
What a fantastic man you are.
Well, thank you very much for the compliment.
And you're looking really good in it too. And the voice is sweet as ever.
Thank you.
The Quinn family, though, the good voice runs in the Quinn family, doesn't it?
Ah, yes. There were 13 of us in the Quinn family, 7 boys and 6 girls, all reasonably good singers, including myself. Really.
I think you're being a little coy there. You're fantastic singers. It's well known that you all are, but you have the singing gene for sure. You know, when you look at the choir today heading into 2023 and the new boys, I'm going to have a word with one of them at the moment, the new blood is needed too, isn't it?
Of course. It's a pleasure to see new members coming along. And I said, on behalf of the choir, they're always welcome. We want to see more and more new members joining the choir. I'm pleased to.
Happy Christmas to you. All the best for 2023 and keep socking it to them next year, won't you?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Wonderful Owen Quinn. Let's hear it for Owen. 88 years young. Fantastic. We have a newbie here, Dominic Tiernan, at the other end of the scale. You're new to St. Peter's.
Yeah. I joined in 2019, but then the COVID hit in, so relatively only here 6 months or so.
What brought you to St. Peter's Male Voice Choir?
I enjoy singing, and I was encouraged by my wife to come and join these people, and I have to say they're brilliant singers, but they're also very nice people. And I'm enjoying it entirely. And
the concert on Friday night was your first big one?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, brilliant.
When you get the crowd standing up, giving you standing ovations, how does that feel?
Oh yeah, well it's not something I'd be used to.
Well, you better get used to it over the coming years, because it happens all the time when you guys perform. Anyway, loving it and would recommend it.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
Well done to you. Dominic Tiernan, let's hear for Dominic, the new member of the choir. And we're going to hear from this man next. He's the tallest man in the choir, Aidan Roach.
I am.
What height are you?
6'4".
Oh, he's a big lad. He certainly is. And he's a big booming voice as well. How long are you with the choir, Aidan?
Well, I'm only with the choir 15 years, so I'd be one of the newer members. Also, I'm 69, so I'm part of the youth wing.
Oh, very, very important indeed.
This is a mature choir.
Of course it is. But you get on very well. You just feel that when I work with you and in the background before you go on stage and that as well. There's a fantastic camaraderie.
There is. It's kind of surprising. I was expecting all the backbiting and the bitchery and... And unfortunately, there's none of it.
Makes a change for an Irish organisation, doesn't it? Really
does. Happy ever after.
Anyway, this song you're going to perform for us now. Tell the story of the song. Because I played the Bob Dylan version on Monday on my show because of you guys last Friday.
Okay. I had a very good friend, as I said at the show, Mick Fleming, who unfortunately died in a really unfortunate accident from a bicycle. And he was a big Bob Dylan fan. And as I said at the time, his two favourite songs were Bullfrog Blues by Rory Gallagher and any Bob Dylan song. So a couple of years ago, Edward came across this Christmas album that Bob Dylan had released, and Must Be Santa was on it. So I just decided to dedicate Must Be Santa to Mick.
That's a lovely, lovely story, isn't it? It really is beautiful. And you do it so well. We're going to hear it now. If you're with us on Late Lunch, welcome to the show. And if you're listening to this on Christmas morning, we're delighted to have you with us as well, because this is getting a rerun on Christmas Day. Anyway, Aidan, over to you and the boys. And will you introduce yourself to the song again?
Must Be Santa.
Here we go. ¶¶
special night.
Santa goes around on a special night, beard that's white. Must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus.
Who's got boots and a suit of red?
Santa wears boots and a suit of red.
Who wears a long cap on his head?
Santa wears a long cap on his head. Cap on head, suit that's red. Special night, beard that's white. Must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus.
Who's got a big red cherry nose?
Santa's got a big red cherry nose.
Who laughs this way? Ho, ho, ho.
Santa laughs this way. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. Cherry nose. Cap on head. Suit that's red. Special night. Beard that's white. Must be Santa. Must be Santa. Must be Santa. Santa Claus.
Have a big round of applause for Mr. Aidan Roach, soloist there with the gentlemen from St. Peter's Male Voice Choir. And you know, something just dawned on me. You sang Noreen Bond, the song you sang a few moments ago. And there's a line in that song that says, there's a broken-hearted mother in a graveyard in Donegal. And this morning, Private Sean Rooney, we remember him today. His funeral mass took place in Dundalk and his cortege is on the way to Donegal at this moment in time. Isn't that just so ironic to contemplate that you sung that today? We remember him. We remember him and dedicate that song to him this afternoon. Edward, if you could just join me again before we finish up, please. Edward Holly. Do you want to name everybody? I'd like you just quickly, I know I don't do this on radio, but will you just name everybody that's here?
That's here.
Today,
yeah, well, Mr. Owen Quinn, you've been speaking to. And Jim Lamb, he's our Facebook sensation with Save the Last Dance to Me. Damien Brady, a relatively new recruit, but he sings as if he's 85. He's brilliant. And Aidan, you've just heard. John Kirk, amazing member of our choir as well, on the bass line, beautiful soloist as well. Dominic, you've spoken to. Eamon Carney, who's Mrs. Carney used to play the organ when my mum was in the Dominican choir, so there's a connection there. And Alan Cox is our spaceman, came travelling guy. He was a lovely singer as well. Eugene Brannigan, beautiful voice from the Brannigan family, extremely helpful roadie. Tony Riley, another super soloist. We'll have to have another show for all these lads. And then Liam Kelly, who gave us a beautiful solo as well. Paddy Davis, a wonderful soloist as well from Happy Christmas War is Over and the Soda Sisters Christmas album. And a longtime friend, amazing chairman, and great organiser, Mr. Paul Delaney.
Big round of applause for yourselves and all the boys from the choir. Edward, just one last word before we go. New recruits, it's been mentioned there, and Owen said, loves to see the new blood coming in.
Absolutely, yeah. Anyone that comes in, we always say, come in for a couple of nights, or even one night, see if it's for you. That's the thing. Just come on in and have a sing with the lads, get to know them. Most people stay. In fact, they nearly all stay. But yes, we're definitely looking for new singers for St. Peter's Male Voice Choir. We rehearse in St. Oliver's National School on the Ballymakenny Road on a Thursday night at 8 o'clock. It's 2 hours of your life, but it's well worth it. You'll enjoy it.
There you go. Sales pitch from the boss. Anyway, I better not say that. Paul Delaney's looking over your shoulder there. Paul Delaney is the boss. I know that for sure. Anyway, folks, thank you so much for joining me today on Late Lunch. It's been a real pleasure. I love being with you. It's just been marvellous. It's the icing on the cake for us here this Christmas that you've come in. And we're going to do a few more songs when we go back to Late Lunch. The boys are going to do a few more songs here, which you can hear on LMFM on Christmas morning. Thanks a million.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, it's most people's favourite part of the meal, the sweet stuff. And Tara has selected an absolute cracker for us today. Tell us what you're doing.
So, Gerry, I have a very, very simple little white chocolate mousse, which you can just make on its own. But just for something a little bit different and special for Christmas, I'm going to do a homemade honeycomb as well, which I think people just love to see. And of course, kids love as well. Now, obviously, you wouldn't let kids make it on their own because it's a bit dangerous. But it's an optional extra for people. So even if you don't do the honeycomb, you can make the white chocolate mousse in no time at all.
What's for stop here?
So, Gerry, I'm just melting some white chocolate here, as you can see. And you have to really watch white chocolate very carefully because it can burn very, very easily. So I'm just melting this down over a pot of hot water. And then in the meantime, I have some double cream here, which I'm just whipping up lightly. And we're going to combine the two then. We're just going to let the white chocolate cool a little bit first. So let me just whip up this double cream. Be careful as well with double cream because it actually whips very quickly and you don't want it to turn into like cheese, you know.
Away goes the whisk there. And so you're going to combine both now. God, this is luxurious.
It is very luxurious. So as you can see, I have little small glasses, just little sherry glasses for this. Now, you can obviously make a bigger portion if you want. But I think this is a lovely kind of almost like just a sweet little treat at the end of the meal rather than like a big bowl of dessert, if you know what I mean. So popping my white chocolate that's melted, and this is really good quality white chocolate. I would recommend just getting a better quality. So like Aldi and Lidl, for example, have really good quality white chocolate and it's not too expensive. So try not to go for the really cheap stuff because it actually has just loads and loads of sugar in it and it doesn't give you this nice kind of melt that we have here. So I'm just combining it and I'm going to use my whisk again just to combine one more time. And look now, this is the basis of our mousse. So I know a lot of times you'd be folding, and I have done other ones, you'd be folding egg whites in here, but we're keeping it super simple. We're not doing that today. And then I have my little sherry glasses washed and ready to go. And I'm just going to pour the mixture into a jug because obviously they're small glasses, just not to make a mess everywhere. So look at the consistency of that. Isn't that gorgeous?
It's beautiful. It's silky. It's smooth. It's glistening.
Exactly. And that's the good quality white chocolate that's doing that. As I say, if you didn't want to do the honeycomb, you could just garnish this with a little bit of raspberry and mint or strawberry, you know, just some nice berries. Look at that. Isn't that gorgeous? Just lovely kind of dolloping consistency there.
It's mouth-watering. It really is.
It's gorgeous. Just filling that, using a spoon to help me as well. And we're going to pop that into the fridge now and let it set while we get on with the honeycomb.
Beautiful. So very simple first steps there. White chocolate mousse with homemade honeycomb. So part one done and dusted here.
And here, I'll give you a little try and you can tell me what you think. There's a little teaspoon.
Have a here, little you can feed me. You can feed me. Come on. Oh, Tara. That is just luxury personified.
Isn't it just? And wait till you see now when we do the honeycomb, even more luxurious. But a lovely crunch with it then.
Fantastic. The honeycomb now.
Yes. So, Gerry, the first thing we're going to do is really prep our tin very well and take a bit longer about this than you maybe would with other dishes because it really can stick. And as well, when the honeycomb is ready to go into the dish out of the pot, you need to work quickly then because it can burn very, very quickly in the pot. So you can see here, I've plenty of butter going onto my dish. And I'm really being pedantic about making sure it comes all the way up around the edges and around the sides and everything because it can stick very, very easily.
So this is a baking dish and you're really going heavy on the butter there.
Yeah, so I mean, really any type of dish is fine as long as you just have kind of the right size available, you know. And I have some greaseproof paper, which I'm going to line it with as well. And then I'm going to put some butter over that as well.
So the greaseproof has gone into the tray there. And as you said, you are now coating the greaseproof paper with butter.
Yes, I know. I know it might seem a bit overkill, but it's just to make sure that nothing sticks here because the honeycomb can nearly melt the paper sometimes, depending on the quality of paper you have. So it won't come out of the tray for you if it in any way sticks. That's the problem. Now,
great job.
Let's get on with the honeycomb itself. Okay, so I have a good deep pan here, pot, I should say, and I'm adding my caster sugar to it. So I have 200 grams of caster sugar. Now, nobody ever said that Christmas recipes had to be healthy recipes. So, you know, this is not the usual style of cooking for the rest of the year. So I have my 200 grams of caster sugar. Next up, I'm putting 5 tablespoons of golden syrup in. And I love when I can get the golden syrup in a squeezy bottle like this rather than the old fashioned tin, which I know looks lovely. But I find it just is much easier to handle. So 5 tablespoons of golden syrup going in there.
It's beautiful, the colour of it. So that combined now with the melting sugar, is that it?
That's it for now. And then the magic is going to happen when we add the bicarbonate of soda in.
You have to be careful with the sugar now. Keep a good eye on it.
Yes, so we're going to be super careful with it. I'm taking it off the heat for a minute here just to stir that golden syrup through the sugar a little bit. Just take our time with this now at this stage.
So you can't go out, take a rain check or anything like that when you're doing this.
You absolutely need to stand over it. And you need to also be careful that you don't have little children or other people in the kitchen who mightn't be aware of what's happening, because you will get a terrible burn. So what's going to happen when we put the bicarbonate of soda in is it's going to actually increase in volume, because that's going to create loads of little bubbles of carbon dioxide inside there. And it's going to come right up the pot, and that's when we take it out straight away. So that's the little bit that can be a little bit dangerous for people. And never taste. Don't do the mistake I made years ago. I was a bit nervous doing a cookery demonstration in front of lots of people about 15 years ago. And I was making salted caramel and I had a taste of it. And sure, I couldn't taste anything for days afterwards because it gives an awful burn on your tongue. So don't be tempted. So what we want to do now is, look, you can see a lot of the sugar has dissolved, but not all of it. So you want to make sure it doesn't kind of bubble too ferociously at this stage, because otherwise the edges could burn and then not all of the sugar is dissolved. And then you want to just sort of, you can see I'm just carefully and gently moving the pot around just to make sure it's well combined. And you can stir it a little bit, but just go easy with the stirring. And you can start to smell now that sort of caramel smell. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It really is.
So once this just turns to liquid, that's when we're going to add the bicarbonate of soda. And at that stage, we're going to work quickly and carefully. So I have my very well lined and greased tin here beside me. And I have my bicarbonate of soda and my spoon ready to go to add it in. So I'm adding 2 teaspoons of bicarbonate of soda to 200 grams of caster sugar and 5 tablespoons of golden syrup.
And that bicarbonate goes in dry on the spoon.
Absolutely. We're just going to just sprinkle it in, and then you'll see it'll all just kind of just increase in volume. It'll all just kind of grow. And you know, it'll hold quite well over the Christmas period as well if you just put it in an airtight container. And it's lovely just sprinkled on loads of different desserts. It's a real treat. Like even on a meringue roulade or a pavlova, it just gives that bit of crunch. I used to serve it at one of the classes here on a chocolate espresso tiramisu tart, like a very sort of rich, dense, slightly bitter chocolate cake, but then this lovely little bit of sweet crunch on top. So you see it's bubbling away there now, and we're going to turn the heat off now, and straight away I'm adding my 2 teaspoons of bicarbonate of soda in, and you can see what happens now straight away. Look at the bubbling, and we're going to stir that through. Look at the total change that happens.
Oh my word, just in seconds. Look at this.
And look how gorgeous and light it is now. So it's a real little kind of like chemical reaction, isn't it? And then we're going to just pop it out into our tin now. And then we're going to let it cool. Now, this is the moment I was saying not to be tempted to taste, because it looks so delicious, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? Yeah.
You just want to have a taste, but do not do it or your tongue will not thank you. So here we go. Look at the lovely lightness of that.
Yes.
And it's just the perfect colour. So that's why you kind of need to stand over, because as I was saying earlier, it can burn very, very quickly. And then your whole honeycomb is a really dark colour, which you don't want. That is it. We're just going to let that cool now for about an hour. And then we're going to take a hammer to it and just bash it up into little shards. Look at all the little bubbles on the top. Doesn't it look gorgeous?
It's absolutely beautiful. So everything's resting for our afters here, and then we'll come back to it and assemble the lot shortly.
Exactly.
The mousse has been in the fridge and it's chilled down lovely. The honeycomb has cooled as well here.
Exactly.
So I think we're going to have a smashing time now, are we?
Exactly, we are. So look, do you remember, I know I sort of went overkill on, you know, greasing the tin, but it's hard to get it out if it's not greased both on the outside of the lining paper and the inside. So it has come away nice and easily for me there. And I have a little meat mallet. I'm going to smash it. Isn't that gorgeous, Jerry? Do you want a little taste?
Oh, for sure.
Smell it even. Isn't it lovely?
Crunchy bar. Crunchy bar.
Isn't it lovely? So we have little shards of honeycomb here with lovely little air pockets in it. You can see the texture there, and it just breaks up nicely. And what I'm going to do now is just kind of break it over our little, over the little mousse pots. Okay, so look at that. Isn't that gorgeous? So you'll get a little kind of chunk of it, and you'll get a little bit of dust on your little chocolate mousse pot. And how lovely does that look?
It looks gorgeous. I see you with a bit of mint there.
Popping the mint on now on the side of your little glass, just for a little bit of freshness, because it is quite a rich little dessert. And we have our little sherry glass there, a little fancy sherry glass.
A lovely little spoon.
Yes.
A spoon og, a little lovely little one to have a taste here. Here we go. When I dig into the mousse there, it's just perfect. Honeycomb on the top. Here we go. I'm lost for words.
Has that ever happened before, Jerry?
Rarely, only when I'm with the dentist and I can't open my mouth to talk. But I'm lost for words. I really am. That is just sublime.
Isn't it lovely? It's super tasty. But I think that small portion, look, I know some people have more sweet tooth than I do, but that little small portion I think is enough for something like that, because it is quite rich. That with a nice strong coffee at the end of a meal, delicious. And Jerry, you know what's lovely? See, it makes quite a big portion of the honeycomb. That is lovely to smash up and put in little jars or bags as a little edible gift for people at Christmas as well.
There you go. And it's so simple as well. Well, we come to the end of another year, and I just want to say, Tara, thank you so much for being so hospitable to us on Late Lunch again this year. You've taken us through the year from spring, summer, autumn, and now into winter and Christmas time. And I know you're starting out anew yourself in 2023. Tell us a little about that.
Yes. Yeah, so, Jerry, all of my classes and recipes are going to be online on a new website called tarawalker.ie. It's not live yet, but you can actually sign up at the moment. If you pop your email address in there, you'll get all the information when we go live in the new year. And it's going to be a mix of lots of different recipes, quick little video tutorials, little tips, and then, of course, live online cookery classes once a month. And you get access to the whole of the cooking club and membership of all of the recipes and videos and tips and tricks.
Exciting times ahead at the season that's in it. Happy Christmas and all the best in the new year to yourself, Rob and Grace. And thanks again. We really appreciate what you do for us on Late Lunch.
Thanks, Jerry. It's great to see you as always. And happy Christmas to you too.
Thank you for all your lovely messages to the show about the choir. Oh, they're just sensational, aren't they? Greetings from sunny Fuerteventura. Looking forward to hearing St. Peter's Male Voice Choir. Big shout out to Dad that comes in. Dad Tony, that's for Tony Riley from Mags and Family. And wishing you all a happy Christmas. Thanks indeed for that. Tony Hodgins. Oh, Jerry, you've just lifted our spirits this day. Thank you so much. The choir are fantastic. Anne loves them too. Loves Noreen Bourne. Ain't surprised. It's a wonderful, wonderful song. And so on. And so on they go. I love that, Louise, there. Tara Walker, just appropriate today, Jerry, when you're talking about tomato sauce on the Christmas table, says a listener.
I need more than Tara Walker.
You'd need Tara Walker, you know, with you for the day, wouldn't you? Imagine having Tara Walker doing your Christmas dinner.
Oh,
wouldn't
yeah.
It just be the dream. It would be the dream come true. But I think you're edged out slightly on the tomato sauce.
I think
sauce.
I am
just
in the minority.
Just slightly.
Totally.
But look, anyway.
But you know, Kylie also loves tomato ketchup. She sings about it.
Does she?
Yeah. Christmas isn't Christmas without ketchup.
You lost the plot completely, for sure. We'll have to catch up with
the
Tylee
only thing
tomorrow,
I wouldn't put tomato ketchup on is my stuffing.
Right. Okay.
So
that's
you see
a,
it. There
that's
is a
no-go.
Redeeming feature.
That's slightly redeeming. Yeah, slightly. only ever so slightly.
You haven't
and
seen
teeny
my
weeny. Yeah. I was going to. What's in your stuffing? What do you make your stuffing in?
Oh, just onion, parsley, bread. If I can chop it up fine.
Yeah.
And salt and pepper.
And breadcrumbs.
And breadcrumbs and butter.
Yeah, and that's a lovely stuffing. Mm. That is a love. That's a traditional Christmas stuffing. Well done, Louise.
Thank you very much.
She's the queen of stuffing. There you are. And a little tomato
Takes
sauce
about
on
seven
the side.
Hours to do.
No, it doesn't. Do all your prep. I'll be busy Saturday. I'll do most of my prep Saturday to be ready for Sunday then. Have most things all done and ready to rock and roll then. And then get ready for the row and the dinner's been served up as people get in my way.
I know a friend of mine, she does a lovely little thing. She says, if it's not done by 5 o'clock Christmas Eve, well, leave it. Pour yourself a glass of Baileys and toast to all those you've lost.
That's nice, isn't it? That's a nice thought. It really, really is. Lots of lovely, warm messages and joy listening to St. Peter's Male Voice Choir this afternoon on the show. Thank you indeed. Tommy's been on to us from Italy. Hello, Tommy. We got your lovely Christmas card and thanks for the good wishes to Louise and myself. Many happy returns to you and your family as well. Great to hear from you and that you're listening to us in Italia this afternoon. Now, on Late Lunch, it's time for this.
The Late Lunch Artist of the Week.
Artist of the Week.
So this week, it's Christmas Artists of the Week. I've picked a different artist each day, and really an artist that you wouldn't associate with Christmas songs, to be honest with you. And today I continue on that theme. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Remember them? Oh, they were terrific. They really, really were. And Tom Petty himself, he passed away, sadly, back in 2017. But they had a great run of songs and music and people really enjoy them right to today and they have a big following still. Anyway, today's song is from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. It was released in 1992 and here it is. Have a listen.
Decorations are all hung by the fire. Everybody's singing, all the bells are ringing out, and it's Christmas all over again. Yeah, again. See, I want a new Rickenbacker guitar. Fender basements.
Good man, Tom.
Chuck Berry's song.
What he'd love for Christmas. The late great Tom Petty there with the Heartbreakers and my Christmas Artist of the Week and their song today, Christmas All Over Again. Quite different, but there you go. Many, many artists and musicians have recorded Christmas songs that you'd be surprised. You really would be surprised about. I'll bring you a final one tomorrow on the show, which is, of course, our last show of this very year. And tomorrow on Late Lunch, it's all about children tomorrow. This show tomorrow, I'm really looking forward to. We bring you some wonderful music, children reading for us, and more besides coming your way on Late Lunch tomorrow afternoon. Final one for 2022. She is the champion 2022. She picked up the trophy yesterday and she'll have the title for the next 12 months. She's from Slane in County Meath. Rita Daly, congratulations to you.
Thank you very much.
Your pudding just won the day. Now, it was a close run with the top three, but you certainly had the few marks in your favour that made you stand out for the girls yesterday and they picked you. Congratulations. It's a great...
Thank you very much indeed.
It really is great. Did you win before?
I won a couple of years ago and I came second last year.
I'll tell you one thing. You're the queen of puddings, that's for sure. You have a great, great record. Tell me about the recipe. Is it an old recipe? Is it your own or what?
It's an old recipe that I have for years. I do the same one every year.
Never changes. Same
Never
one.
Never changes. No, I just stick to the same one every year, Jerry, yes.
Well, it's a winning recipe for sure.
It's going down well.
Yeah, two titles and a runner-up. I can see you being stocked next year in Aldi or Lidl. You know, I think they'll be on to you looking for the recipe and to see can you step up production. How many do you make, Rita?
I made about 14 this year.
14 puddings?
Just Amanda's... asked me to do five for him there, so he's picking them up tomorrow. He got them off me last year as well.
My, that's a lot of puddings. Do you keep one or two for yourself, I take it?
Oh,
yes.
I do. Oh, God, yes. Oh, yeah. And then if I have any over, I put them in the freezer and have them later on during the year, you know?
So you can freeze them, can you?
Oh, yes, freeze them, yeah, and just tar them out and stick another dabble up wherever you like on it. Whiskey or whatever, brandy or whatever. You know yourself and let it soak in.
Tomato sauce.
Yeah, I know, voila, yeah.
Our Louise...
Well, put, a bit of flavour on, yeah, it?
Well, well, our Louise would put tomato sauce in it. She puts tomato sauce and everything else on Christmas Day, on the turkey, on the ham, on our spuds. The only thing she doesn't put it on is the stuff. And so I'd say in the Walsh house, or in the Ferreter house, shall I say, a tomato sauce and your pudding would just be the dream ticket, I think. She's in there bent in two laughing. I think so. Anyway, look, so you make 14, stick to the same recipe, and obviously that, you know, when that person tasted it, they're back, you know, five puddings, they like your pudding as well, you know, and
by the way, they do.
So if you were given one accompaniment, forget about the tomato sauce, if you had one thing to make your pudding taste nicer, would it be cream or custard or brandy sauce or what?
Well, I go for cream. I go for custard as well, to be honest.
Yeah, I think custard and pudding is lovely.
Yeah, it's lovely.
I think so. Just heat it a little and put your custard on it. And the custard
heat
can...
Did you ever fry it in the pan? I think I was talking about that before. Did you fry it on the pan? No.
Well, let me tell you, you must have been with us in spirit last night in the pub, because the Wednesday Club had a huge debate about frying pudding, and there's big fans in the Wednesday Club of fried pudding. I've never tried it, but guess what, Rita?
I'm going to now
for sure. And you know, I have to say, Declan, one of the lads, says he loves it. He does the rashers, the sausages, the egg and the fried Christmas pudding. What about that?
Yes, it's nice fried, all right.
So you'd add it to what we would call a breakfast or a mixed type of grill or that. You'd love it with that, would you?
Well, yes. Wouldn't say no to it, probably.
Oh, definitely not. Actually, I'm salivating here even thinking it.
We'd like the dog, we'd lick the lips after it.
For sure. Rita, what do you fry it in? Would you fry it in butter or what?
Yeah.
A little bit of butter on the pan, is it?
Just a little bit of butter, yeah.
Fry your pudding in it then. There you go. But I'm sure you could fry it in sunflower oil or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Whatever it takes. You often done it as well, yes.
Did you? Yeah, you often did.
Oh, this with you. Whichever comes first. The nearest to me.
Yes.
Jab it on.
Anyway, two gold medals and a silver. God, you're an Olympic pudding maker for sure with all those titles. And you got your lovely hamper as well. I'm delighted. Yeah, I happened to be, my car has broke down.
I've no way of getting around, so I just happened to be in town there yesterday. So when Louise rang me, and she just said to pick it up before tomorrow, you know what I mean? So I just said, I'm in town at the moment.
Great.
She said, yeah, you can call up, she says, if you want. I was just getting the lift into town, you see. So that's all done,
and we have that done and dusted as well. And it's absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Very well deserved as well. And finally, just before you go, when do you make them? How long are they made ahead of Christmas?
It's made a bit... Four, five weeks, I said.
Lovely, and I'll tell you, there'll not be a lot of them left in the new year with the taste of them. They're that lovely, Rita, to be honest
with you.
Another gorgeous, it is a gorgeous pudding. And thank you for taking our call today. I wish you and your family a happy Christmas and all the best for the new year. And I'm sure you'll be back to give it a go next year. Can you knock her off her perch?
Thank you very much.
Take care, Rita. Bye.
Okay, cheers. Bye-bye.
That's the champion this year, Rita Daly from Slane, with her wonderful pudding. 14 puddings. Louise, 14 puddings, and a man calling for five tomorrow. What do you make of that? You know what I mean? That's a... It just shows you it's an endorsement for a pudding.
14 puddings. And how long does it take a pudding to make a pudding? It takes a long time,
doesn't it? You'd be boiling it for hours and hours. In our house, there's about 6 or 7 hours to take. And the steam would be running. Coming down the windows and
My dad used to sell all the ingredients for puddings and cakes, and they used to come from miles. It used to be all like the fresh peel and cherries, about three different types of cherries. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
Smells, the colours.
You can't beat it. It really is. I will definitely have to try the fried, Louise.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine it being fried in oil. Like she said butter, but I wondered, can you fry it in oil?
Anyway, that was interesting last night when Declan mentioned the eggs, the rashers and sausages, and, you know, the Christmas pudding as the centrepiece.
Oh.
Isn't that lovely?
I think it's very savoury and sweet, wouldn't it be?
I think it works, though. It has to work, yeah.
You'll have to try it now, Christmas Day, and you'll have to blog it.
Yeah, I am. And you know what I'm thinking? You could have your tomato sauce with that. I'd allow that because it's a fry. The eggs, the rashers, the sausages, the red sauce and the pudding. You thought I was joking. I was serious.
I don't think I'd ever put it on it. No, I couldn't. I'd puke.
You'd have the yin and the yang. That's like a sweet and sour. You know what I mean?
I once was dared actually to eat apple tart and tomato ketchup.
Did you do it?
Yeah.
And? No?
I can't remember, but I never did it again.
Well, that
says it all, really.
That rules that out of contention for sure. It does indeed. Anyway, we're going to say goodbye to you this second last late lunch of the year. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. And again, a big thank you to the gentlemen of St. Peter's Male Voice Choir and Edward Holly for joining us today. It was simply wonderful. And just to remind you, Christmas morning, you can relive the wonderful singing here on LMFM Radio. Taking all that for Christmas morning. Tomorrow on the show, it's all about children all the way on Late Lunch tomorrow. So we are two big kids anyway. But make sure and join us for the final show from 1:30. Make sure and join us for the final show of the year tomorrow. Eddie Caffrey's on his way with The Drive. Stay with us here on LMFM Radio. See you Friday.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.